All right, welcome. Have a really interesting one planned for you guys right now. And we're gonna have some fun. It's of course all about fear because that's my thing. But you know, when you call yourself a thought leader, then you want to come up with new thoughts all the time. And so this is my latest new thought about fear that I'm really excited about. As you guys know, I'm about big ideas. I'm about challenging existing norms. I'm also about core values. And tonight we're going to go off the deep end of all of these. So really excited about tonight. And this is going to change the way that I work with clients moving forward quite a bit. And you guys heard it here first. So as always, just listen in, be as present as you can. I'm going to outline something. I have a good habit of trying to make things as simple as possible, but this is a big concept. And so hopefully hunker down, make yourself as present as possible. As always, I'll give you a chance to ask questions and facilitate you on a guided journey and maybe put somebody in the hot seat if you're up for it. So be thinking if you want to be put in the hot seat as you're listening to what I'm outlining. So I had this thought, this is where this all came from. Like this, I just kind of mapped out today. This is that new. I've just been thinking about this today, but psychologists are always trained to help you dissect your childhood, our childhood, and why our childhood has somehow messed us up, or how our parents have messed us up, or maybe you were teased, or maybe molested or neglected, or physical or verbal abuse, had lots of fear growing up. Like there's a lot of things that can cause a bad childhood, but there are also people who have great childhoods. But doesn't it seem regardless, everyone's messed up, even if you had a great childhood. I had a client once that came to ski camp. She's like, I had the perfect childhood and I'm as messed up as everybody else. So I'm going to talk about my childhood to begin our session. And I want you, as I'm explaining mine, to think about your childhood as well. Now, mine wasn't that bad, but it wasn't that good either. I certainly did not have a happy childhood. For me, there were four things that were the issue with my childhood that I could talk about this with a therapist. And I have, you know, my parents were miserable in their relationship. My dad was a very, very much a narcissist. And my mom was just constantly screaming at him, trying to get him to change. And so they were just very focused on their trauma in their marriage. And my dad was in survival mode and my mom was in trying to change him mode. And so there was that. And then they were also very hands-off parents. Like I didn't really have parents. I was just kind of doing my own thing. And then the other thing that happened when I was 2 years old, my brother was four and my mother accidentally ran over his toes with the lawnmower and cut all his toes off on one foot. And she felt so bad about that. And my brother is the one through therapy that had this realization that my parents were all about my brother and making it up to my brother. And I was neglected. So basically what I'm saying is I raised myself. And the other thing, the fourth thing that was a problem with my childhood is I didn't have any friends. And so I was alone pretty much all the time, raising myself and alone. Now, did this shape a lot of good stuff for me? Absolutely. As you can see, I'm an independent, strong woman. Now you understand that better, where that comes from. There are also a lot of things that fueled my ski career. I had a lot of anger at my dad because he was so, well, lack of consideration, which is where we're going. That's my number two core value. And I didn't come across as an angry person, but I had a lot of competitiveness towards men that was really playful and fun, but that came with my anger at my dad. I mean, we can dissect all of our childhoods and find a lot of stuff there. My ski career was affected because I really wanted friends and attention and look at me and jumping off 70-foot cliffs got me that. So that's how there were good stuff in my childhood that led to my ski career. Now, bad stuff in my childhood, you know, here's how my childhood messed me up. Now, I have talked at length about core values. You guys know about my core values conversation. My number two core value, and really keep this in your mind, write it down if you need to, because this is what a lot of what I'm going to talk about today is consideration. You know, my number one core value was being met, radical self-expression. My number three accomplishment hadn't yet been actualized, but it was my number two core value, consideration, that was not being met in my childhood. My dad was not in consideration for me. The kids at school didn't even notice me, much less were in consideration of me. And so based on that, with my number two core value, consideration, definitely not being met in childhood, let's now talk about core fear. Now, based on consideration, and think about your core values, write them down if you don't know them by heart, be thinking about what they are. The next conversation I want us to have is based on your number one, two, or three core values, in my case, consideration, what is your core fear in relationship to that? So, consideration, my number one core value, my core fear is then fear of being invisible or of not being seen or not being considered, which is kind of what my childhood was all about, which leads to, here's the third concept, core values first, core fear second, core shadow is the third thing we're talking about tonight. Specifically now as an adult, with my core value of consideration not being met, my core fear of being invisible, of not being considered, gets triggered. And this is all often unconscious because I'm not, you know, don't know how to deal with fear. Most of us don't. That turns into my core shadow. Now, core shadow is, of course, the thing that you are that you don't know that you are, that everybody can see is your problem that you don't know you have. Now, what does that mean? Core value leading to core fear, leading to core shadow. You're about to find out what that means. And in talking to you, I want you to first identify during our time together one of your core values. And hopefully by now you've figured them out, or that you worked with me and you obviously know about these enough that you have a sense of your core values. In particular, I'm kind of hoping that we could either explore your number one core value or the one that most was not met in childhood. So if anybody is willing to be in the hot seat right now, let's talk about this. Anybody want to raise their hand and be in the hot seat?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Michael, let me get a pen out. Which core value do you want to explore? Let me just get a pen. All right.
My number one core value, I believe, is validation. And I think I would, you know, act out wanting that validation, to have someone see me and validate that I did something right, or I would do something that would please them to get validation.
Okay.
But the thing that I know is the thing that just resonated with me most just now was your comment that everyone can see your shadow, but you.
Mm.
Because that is what I really feel was the, in my failure of my marriage, was that I didn't know that I had a shadow, and everybody keeps saying, well, you're being triggered. And I'm like, I don't know what trigger means. And what are you seeing? And I have no clue what you're seeing.
And your kids can see it too. Now,
right.
Guys, you don't know, Michael and I, we meet once a week, and so I know a lot about Michael's life. And so, your kids can see it too, in particular your oldest kid, but let's kind of leave that until we talk next. Okay. So you're aware of what your core value is, and you are aware of the shadow now. I mean, awareness is power, but let's keep digging further, because based on core value, of validation, right?
Right.
That wasn't being met, or that you were working really hard like a dog to have met as a child and then also as an adult with your family. What's the core fear that's associated with a value of validation, which is of not being valued, right?
Right.
And when you're not being valid, when your core fear is being triggered, what then becomes your core shadow? What do you turn into?
I turn into a bad person. I get it. As a child, I'd get obnoxious, let's say. Like, I would just keep teasing and pushing and pushing until someone, like, said something. Either negative or positive, didn't matter, really. Just some sort of reaction. I didn't know I was looking for a reaction, but I would just keep pushing and pushing and pushing till I got in trouble.
Right. And that's only one of many shadows that can show up. It could be that somebody becomes really demanding or starts, you know, interrupting parents that are having dinner, you know, like, pay attention to me, validate me. Oh, look at this thing that I can do. Like, you can immediately see if core value is validation, what core fear would be of not being validated, or if, God forbid, you're not being validated, you're being criticized or teased at school, what then becomes the shadow there? And so what I'm suggesting, and here's where I'm going with this, and you can mute yourself if you want, because we can come back to you. But let me just tell you, everybody, where I'm going with this. What if, and this really blew my mind when I had this realization, what if your childhood trauma then is actually not what shapes you? It's not what shapes who you become. The trauma itself is not what shapes you. But what if what actually shapes you is, okay, yes, the trauma, sure, but only as it relates to your core value, leading to core fear and then core shadow. And that at some point, you know, all of this was going to be triggered regardless of any trauma that you had as a childhood, in your childhood, or lack of trauma. So what I'm saying is that what happens to us in our childhood, the being teased or being neglected or, you know, fill in the blank, is not what creates our wounds. It's all based on core values and core fear that creates the core wound and shadow. It's kind of a big concept, because next thing you know, you don't have to hash over your childhood. The only thing that you need to hash over is, what is your core value, and is it being met? What's your core fear? You know, is your core fear triggered? And if so, it explains your behavior. And you're not acting this way because of how you were raised. So yeah. Psychologists aren't going to want to hear this, because it's all of a sudden the solution becomes a lot easier. But let's keep going with this. I want to give you a couple examples. I want to start with a really easy example, or rather a non-threatening example. Let's say somebody's number one core value is autonomy. Let's say they have perfect parents. And what constitutes perfect parents? Loving, you know, they love you and they go to all your soccer games and you help you with your homework and all of that. But if your number one core value is autonomy, you're going to be like, oh my God, people leave me alone, right? And so that person as an adult is just going to be so over people butting in and never wanting anybody to get close. And they didn't have a messed up childhood, not what we think of when we think of messed up childhood, that like parents love this child, but unknowingly they love this child too much or not in the right way. And the argument could be made that that child is messed up because of the parents. You know, definitely an argument can be made, or an argument can be made that the wound would have been this way regardless. So because autonomy, if your number one core value is autonomy, at some point in your life, parents or otherwise, someone's going to trigger it. And even if the parents, let's say we're projecting 20 years in the future, Donnie and Mai's book is a wild bestseller, and parents know that autonomy is this child's number one core value and raise this child accordingly, this child would still have the same core fear, you know, of not having enough time to be autonomous, or, you know, of being controlled or space invaded, right? And then core wound or core shadow would be able to be triggered regardless. because this person will always have this core fear and this core shadow. And it'll be regardless of any trauma or any lack of, or even lack of trauma, but at some point somebody will trigger it. And this is how this person grows up, and they start to think that there's something wrong with them because they're not interested in having a connected relationship with people, which is what's revered in our society. So it's not because of the way they were raised, it's just because of who they are. Any questions about this example? Before I give another more sensitive one.
I just think there's a lot of truth in that. I'm really absorbing a lot of this, both you and Michael, similar to me. So thank you.
Well, let's keep going. I want to bring up a harder example, or rather, I think a more sensitive example. And I'm going there because, well, I'm me, right? And I am willing to take on difficult subjects. And I like looking at things from a different perspective, but let's explore maybe a child that was sexually abused. Now, I'm no expert on child sex abuse, of course. With a simple internet search, though, I found that before the age of 18, 40% of females have been sexually abused. It's huge. And 30% of male children have been sexually abused. That's just sexually abused, too. Now, when a child is sexually abused, shame is part of the deal most of the time. There's a lot of different behaviors that result. Withdrawal behavior, or maybe that child becomes highly sexualized or leads to substance abuse. You guys know, about this kind of stuff. I don't need to outline all the things that people become. And then we're assuming that it's all because of the sexual abuse. But looking at this from a different lens, let's say that kid, their number one core value is connection. Now, if some kid's number one core value is connection, my guess is they're probably more likely to be targeted by a pedophile. You know, the grooming process, right? These pedophiles appeal to the child's needs, and they're going to look at a kid that is craving connection but has none, and they're going to be an easy target, right? Now, the kid grows up and the abuse is over. But it's still kind of torturing them. Can you see from that point on, if a kid's number one core value is connection, things get really confusing. And they don't have a healthy history of connection. And, the core fear, if connection is your number one core value, is of not being connected. And next thing you know, of course, because fear drives us, it drives us all, right? And the fear of not being connected drives them. So they want and they need to connect. So one shadow of this is they become very promiscuous. Or another shadow is, let's say safety is another one of their core values. So you have a kid that wants to connect, but also wants safety, was abused as a child. They have not only fear of not connecting, but they also have fear of losing safety or being unsafe. And next thing you know, it's a tug of war. The tug of war is their shadow. It's like they want to connect, but they don't feel safe, but they want to connect, but they don't feel safe. And this tug of war becomes their shadow, and until they're a shadowed mess and they're just like, what the heck is going on? And they may blame the childhood sexual abuse for it. But it might just be that the childhood sexual abuse, they would have had this anyway because they have these two opposing core value forces. It may just be exaggerated because of the sexual abuse, but it wasn't caused by the sexual abuse. Do you follow my logic? And you can tell me if you don't in just a little bit, but let me keep talking a little bit further and then maybe I'll fill in some of the blanks. As for molested kids that resort to drug use or alcohol or what have you, or weird coping mechanisms, reminder, that is a way to not deal with fear. And there's core fear associated with core value. So it's a way to not deal with their core fear. So the big concept that I'm introducing here and what I'm saying is that when discussing being messed up from childhood, it seems very important to discuss core values resulting in core fear, leading to core shadow. And here's the big out of the box thing, you know, the thought leader thing or the thing that we're exploring today that is different and new. Let's say your core value is connection and you escaped childhood without being molested. Congratulations, right? At some point, you will likely have your heart broken in your life, or you'll be fired from a job that you loved, or your friend will disappoint you. This will also trigger core fear, you know, fear of lacking connection or losing connection. And what's going to get triggered next, you know, is going to be, of course, core shadow. And what could get triggered is core shadow could be the drug use, right, as a way to not deal with fear. Or you could become promiscuous, or you could withdraw in that situation as well. It probably won't be as elevated if you were molested as a child, but I mean, everyone is rejected at some point. Everyone loses validation at some point. Everyone deals with lack of consideration at some point. At some point, all of us, our core values will be shat upon. And, you know, this is those core values leading to core fear, according to shadow, is going to still be there irregardless. It may just be turned up the dial on this if you had a difficult childhood. So because life is difficult, and what I'm saying is that these fears, and then add in a drop of an unwillingness to feel fear and shadow. And what I'm saying is that based on your core values, you being messed up as an adult is probably going to happen regardless of your upbringing. Okay. And that if you had a particularly challenging upbringing that really pushed upon your core value, you know, and decimated it, it's going to be elevated, but it won't be the cause. You know, the abuse won't be the cause of your shadow or your problems. It'll just turn up the dial on them. Now, feel into that. You know, is it possible that it's not your childhood that messes you up, but connecting the dots, you know, following core values, core fear, leading to core shadow, it's going to happen anyway. You know, and it doesn't have anything to do with your crummy parents or getting teased or molested or any of that. And this, probably the most interesting thing about this also explains why people who had great childhoods are also a mess, and why we're all also a mess, and we all have shadow. So there's my big concept. Any comments or thoughts?
You may be on something.
Interesting, right?
Very interesting.
Okay, does anybody have any comments, questions, or shares?
I guess I would say that the core fear and the core shadow are somehow deeply connected, and I'm not sure I totally understand how I would separate them.
Well, core fear doesn't have to turn into core shadow if you have a healthy relationship with your fear. If you have a conscious, healthy relationship with your fear. And I can give you some examples in a second, but is there any other questions that people have or comments? And maybe we could put you, Liz, in the hot seat if you want. There's a thought.
You can do that.
Okay. Let me put myself in the hot seat first, just to give you a better tracking ability. So all this is a way of explaining that the solution to shadow is backing up and making sure, first and foremost, that you understand fully your core values, and making sure that you can also then, based on these, see your core fear. And of course, backing up even further to what I am all about is dealing with your fear accordingly so it doesn't turn into shadow. You know, like feeling your fear rather than taking drugs to not deal with it, right? And so this seems like a very worthwhile exploration. And I mean, imagine the kid that realizes that, oh, I'm not taking drugs because I was molested as a child. I'm taking drugs because this triggered something in, you know, it pushed against my core value. It triggered my core fear, and now I'm not dealing with my fear. You know, that's a very different conversation, and doesn't have to do with forgiving your abuser or any of that. It's more about, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that or that can be helpful, but it's a different recovery program. So I'm going to use me as an example. So how I deal with my core fear. Now, mine is consideration. That's my number two core fear that I have the most issues with in the world. And my core fear with consideration is of being invisible or of not being considered, or that the world is too self-absorbed to see or consider me and my experience. Now, my messed up childhood then seemingly manifests as the fear of not being considered. And Kirk certainly complained about this all the time. He's like, your parents messed you up. He's like, you're always Mr. Understood. You're always trying to explain yourself. And I was just hoping that he would listen and see and consider me. You know, I was asking for this all the time. And I used to say that there's no room for me in this relationship, you know, because my core wound was I'm invisible. He's not considering me. You know, it was just my core value, because I didn't know about core values during my marriage, was being triggered like crazy, my core fear of being invisible. Now, and then of course the shadow showed up. Now, my fear doesn't show up as scared. My fear shows up as emotional pain. You know, that's one thing that I'll probably talk about next week, that fear doesn't show up as scared or afraid or fear of something. And if you try to figure that out, you may have missed the point that, you know, fear rarely manifests as scared or fear of something. For me, fear shows up as emotional pain and crying, basically sadness. And that's who I become when I'm not being considered. My fear shows up as deep sadness. That's when my core wound is triggered. Or sorry, my core value, if it's not being met, you know, gets triggered, I turn into deep sadness. Now, I could work with a shrink and find the story of how this seemingly came from my parents, you know, and that messed me up. They didn't see me, they didn't consider me, all of that. But that seems really messy and complicated, and there's missing pieces to that puzzle. And just by understanding my core value, that I came out of the womb and the core fear, leading to core wound and shadow, it's just so much simpler. You know, and the solution then becomes so much simpler. So now that I realize this, when I'm not being considered, first of all, you'll know it, right? I'll know it and you'll know it, because I get upset and I cry. Now, how does knowing this help me? Awareness is power. So let me give you three examples of how my shadow shows up. So I don't like dogs. And it's because I think over time, dog owners are so in love with their dogs that they don't consider that I don't want their dogs coming up to me. I don't want their dogs sticking their nose on my leg. I just don't want to pet their dogs. I don't want to pretend, because radical self-expression is my number one core value. If I'm not feeling it, I can't fake being into their dog, right? So when I don't feel in consideration to them, and so then I'm just like, you know, and I have a contempt for dog owners and dogs, and it's grown and grown to the point where, and plus my cats were killed by dogs, now I hate dogs. So that's how my consideration, you know, or lack thereof, and my core fear of not being considered has showed up in me not liking dogs and actually having disdain for them and dog owners. Or, you know, and then I live in a cul-de-sac where there's a hiking trail, and every morning I get woken up by barking dogs, and I'm like, right? So there's core shadow. I'm just super judgy and angry that don't these people see and consider that there's people here sleeping and with their dogs barking at 7 a.m. You can see I'm a Karen, right? So that's what I mean by core shadow, because it's triggering core fear. And anyway, there's another example. So I have a house remodel going on next door, and they have this compressor that is just right. And I managed to talk to, and one of my bedrooms is completely unlivable in the summertime because this compressor is right outside the window. It's so loud because the house next door is 15,000 square feet and they only have one compressor. You can imagine how loud it is. So I have asked the contractor that's remodeling the house, could you move the compressor? And I'm waiting to find out if he's going to see and consider my request. Consideration, right? You can see that this is really important to me. And then, of course, my third example is Kirk. I was begging him, see and consider me and my feelings. And I was all about considering him, but he was never about me. But I was asking him all the time, even before I knew about core values. Now, the first point I want to make about all this is it's easy to get stuck being a Karen or being angry at other people who are not, you know, validating you or not wanting to connect with you or whatever your core values is. For me, consideration. And how you know that you're in a shadow place regarding your core value that's not being met is you feel like a victim. That's the ultimate shadow. Michael, are you listening? So you feel like a victim. They have wronged me, you know, all of that. So that's the ultimate shadow. That's the first thing. And this awareness is very important, right? And I may feel like a victim from my parents or the childhood, the kids didn't like me. I could dissect that, but I'm going to feel this way irregardless of my upbringing, is my point. So second thing that makes this helpful, knowing all this, is I realize that's my pain point. It's my pain point, right? And I mean, there's so much judgment involved when you know what your core value is. And if you don't see it being emulated in other people, you are so judgmental of those other people. What is wrong with this person? What is wrong with these dog owners? What is wrong with this contractor that's not going to move that thing? What is wrong with Kirk, right? So there's a lot of also not just victim, but a lot of blame and judgment. Now, here's the second thing why this is important. I was talking to Donnie, she's my therapist, about my pain point. You know, I was basically complaining, nobody sees or considers me. And she said, now hold on, Kristen. She pointed out that people consider me all the time. And she cited a whole bunch of examples of people considering me. And she also said that if they don't consider me, then it's an opportunity for me to learn boundaries, you know, communication of boundaries and integrity. You know, this is basically owning your shit, owning, you know, because you know your core value, you now own and know your core fear, and you now and own and can see your core wound / shadow. So, and have integrity about it and know how to communicate about it. So, how this works and how this helps me in my next relationship, because I know all this, the person that I date next will definitely know my core values, and that if I'm crying or emotionally upset and in pain, that's what's happened. That's what's triggered it. Because only if you can see it, can you learn how to communicate with it too. So I would probably communicate this on my first date with somebody, even if I have no interest in going on a second date with them. They will know this about me right away. So learning how to communicate that and recognize that when you get triggered, you know, that it's not personal. Like those dogs, the dog owners, it's not personal, right? And I become aware, this is me seeing my shadow, that I expect others to meet my needs, right? And what I think is right, yet they don't know this about me. And they don't get it because that's not their core value. And when I meet a dog owner for whom consideration is their core value, I know it. They're like, oh, sorry, right? But other people, that's not their core value. So why should I expect that from them? Certainly, unless I know how to understand them, my core values and my core fear and core triggers, and when I get into a victim state, that awareness, and I tell them, but I have to do it with integrity, right? I don't demand that they have their dog back off. I ask nicely because I know all this. I don't tell the contractor next door, look, this is ridiculous. I'm going to get a lawyer. If you don't, you know, this is noise pollution, blah. I could do that. Instead, I ask nicely. And I make a point to try and figure out what his core values are so that I ask in a way that makes him feel seen and considered as well, because that's my superpower. So can you see that what I have is I have good communication, I have integrity around the dogs thing, around the compressor thing. If I had another chance to, you know, with Kirk, I would have handled that situation a lot differently. Now, as for when my fear gets triggered, and I don't go to core wound, right? Because I have all this awareness. And yet I ask people, you know, hey, this is really important. Would you consider me? This is who I am and what I need right now, and stay in my own lane. And it's like, it's me, it's not them. They're not horrible people. Like, it's just me knowing what I want and learning how to ask for this. It has nothing to do with them, has nothing to do with my childhood, no one to blame. It's my pain point, my sadness, my wound, right? It's gonna be here regardless of them and their dog, right? Or the next door. So it's my own, no one caused it. It's mine, I'm born with it, right? If I sit with it and I notice that, then if they then don't respect it, though, I know to draw a boundary. And these are not people I should be hanging out with. So that's how you honor your boundaries, and you do it with integrity, and you stay in your own lane, and you sit with and notice it. And this is how each time you have a difficulty with a neighbor or what have you, you just know yourself more deeply and more deeply all the time. And then if you do the four steps, you know, okay, that's not my person, boundary, right? This isn't going to work out. They're not going to move the compressor, right? What do I do now? Well, go and sit and do the four steps around your core fear, or in my case, my core pain, my core sadness, to go even deeper. So that's how this information serves us, and how you can resolve your big shadowed issues in a pretty succinct, easy way. Well, okay. Liz, do you want to be in the hot seat while we go through this?
I thought of a hot seat scenario based on the beginning of the conversation.
Okay.
So maybe I could use that.
Okay. Let me know what it is and I'll...
Well, I just felt a lot of connection when you were describing your childhood, because I would say, yes, my parents too had an unhappy marriage. My dad was obsessed with being right. You know, he was just right. And they were extremely hands-off parents. Like, we went to my house to do things and not be supervised. And we moved a lot, so I always had to be making new friends. That was so hard.
Let me go for a second. What if that barely matters?
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it doesn't
make the difference between a level 8 or level 10 shadow, but what if none of that matters?
Could be. And I'll tell you now what has, like, disturbed me in coming from opposite ends from when I was that little girl, always moving. And I, like Michael, want what I call signification, and I find it very hard to get to this day.
Being significant, being seen as significant?
being recognized for what I can do, what I think, and who I am. Mm-hmm. Michael used a different word, validation.
Yeah.
But it has some carryover. It's just something I've thought of as one of my core values, possibly number two, maybe, or three.
And that's the one that gets triggered the most for you, it sounds?
Yes, I think it is. It triggers me the most.
So what if your childhood, and I love this, like always moving, like picture somebody that's moved 20 times in, you know, the first 10 years of their lives, right? You meet these people from time to time, and some people are like, oh my God, it was awful. Stability may be their number one core value, but for somebody for whom adventure is their number one core value, it was no big deal, and it's not a thing for them. So you can see right there that core value dictates whether a wound gets triggered by that moving around or not. It's going to get triggered somewhere, right? But maybe it just got triggered earlier for the child for whom stability is their core value. So yours is recognized. So without spending a lot of time just dissecting this and figuring out where it came from, just have the moment where you just realize you don't crave recognition because of anything that's happened in your life. You crave recognition because you came out of the womb to be on this planet as Liz, the one who craves recognition. That is just who you are. It's not something that somebody did to you, that it's a problem that you need 20, 30 years of therapy to undo, that, you know, that your spouse is going to be like, you need help. Like, you know, like you need to read that book about not giving a fuck or whatever, right? Or not needing recognition. You need to overcome that. That's like trying to overcome you being Liz. Like, can you just try that on and see how that lands for you? And then based on that, and I'm moving us along pretty quick, I realize, but I want to make sure we get all this in before we run out of time. If recognition is your number two or number one core value, and it's not being met on a regular basis, what core fear is as a result of that? Or what is your core fear, irregardless of whether you're having it met or not?
That's a good question. I guess it would just be not being able to live to my potential. It would be it being pigeonholed and not able to do everything I could do.
So that's a little bit in contradiction to your core value, because recognize has to do with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But when you say your biggest fear is not being able to live to my potential, then that tells me that your number one core value or two, whatever it is potential or accomplishment, which is different than recognition. Because if your number two core value, I think you're saying is number two, if that it's recognition, your core fear would be not being recognized for your accomplishments. Do you see the difference?
Yes. But I would say it's intertwined in that I would hope not to be just doing things in a, you know, a soundproof cement room and be able to share the experience of some of this.
Okay, then we don't have time to go into detail on this, but is it possible that accomplishment and recognition are two core values? Because they're different.
You know, certainly that could be.
Okay. So then the core fear of accomplishment is not being able to accomplish everything that you're potentially, you know, what, rising to your potential, what you said. Mm-hmm. Your core fear of recognition is, let's say you did accomplish something amazing, not being recognized for it. Mm-hmm. Those are two different fears. And then based on this, what becomes your core shadow? You know, if you're not accomplishing to your greatest potential, who do you turn into?
Like bitter and unhappy.
And at times, can you feel like a victim and blame the world or situations or other people for your bitterness and unhappiness and lack of accomplishment?
You know, there's a million things I could cite.
Right. And shadow is different for everyone. And it's really easy to just pick the low hanging fruit here, you know, like recognition, core value, right? Status, right, is a core value for some people. And core fear is not having status or not being recognized for your accomplishment. Like the worst thing for that kind of person is if you accomplish something and somebody else in the office takes credit for it, that would trigger a shadow. Unless it's conscious and unless you have integrity and accountability and boundaries and, you know, all, and you're dealing with your fear, you know, around that. But that would cause somebody to, if it was unconscious and shadowed, for them to feel justified in feeling like a victim and getting really hostile and angry and acting in inappropriate ways. So you can see, and then you'd like, oh, okay, it's because of her childhood, or is it because this is her core value, which is not being met, it's being shat upon, triggering her core fear, and it's unconscious, so it's triggering shadow. So once you start seeing this trilogy, then a lot can be explained and understood and now dealt with in a more simplistic way versus trying to figure out who caused this, right? Or where it came from, when really nobody caused this and it came from the universe, you know?
Well, it's just the way things are in the world. And I guess I would maybe go back to, I actually do think it's the signification. If I can just get that, I mean, I don't need to be winning an award or.
Right, but when you don't get it, mm-hmm. you know, when the neighbor decides to leave the compressor in place, mm-hmm. you know, what do you do then? Because it's not the world, it's us and our expectations of the world based on what we value. Mm-hmm. And I mean, everybody can go around pointing fingers like, well, that person and this jerk, Jack, everybody's a jerk, Jack, right? Versus staying in your own lane and taking accountability for, okay, this is what matters to me. It doesn't matter to anybody else. So they don't know that this matters to me. They don't know to give me recognition. Mm-hmm. And I need to learn how to ask for it. And I need to know that about myself. And I need to educate my husband about that and my children about that. And I need to understand that when I'm not getting it, that it's triggering something in me. And then I need to deal with this, my shadow around this with integrity.
Right.
So that is what this is all about. And how you deal with this with integrity is the four-step art of fear method.
If I was you, I would build a stylish sound baffle that overshadows your neighbor's property.
I'm going to try just getting them to move it first.
Okay. Knowing if you're that, not done with that, go for it.
Knowing that this contractor, I don't think their number one core value is consideration. So I have to navigate that. And like I said, deal with it with awareness of this is my need, right? ownership of my fear around it. And what this means, it's not that he's a horrible person. He's just whatever. He cares about something else, right? And I need to have integrity in how I ask for this and not demand and not blame and point fingers, but actually, and that ironically is probably going to be the best approach to having that thing move. It's not going to be cheap. I mean, we're talking, I don't know, I'm guessing tens of thousands of dollars to move it. So just to make the neighbor happy. So think about that. Anyway, let's move on, and maybe we can all do this. I hope you guys have a pen and paper out, and you can write down maybe your core value that most often doesn't get met in the world. And then based on that, what your core fear is, you know, there's low hanging fruit. Like if your core fear is connection, you know, maybe, sorry, your core value is connection. Core fear, I may assume, is not being connected, but it could be something completely different. But based on core value number, the one that's being shat upon the most, what is your core fear? Write that down. And in order to prevent it from becoming your shadow, four-step art of fear method. So let's do the four steps around your core fear. And everybody's different. Is anybody not clear about what their core fear might be based on their core value that's not being met? So everybody's pretty clear? All right, four steps. I want you to acknowledge that it's normal and natural for you to have, I'm going to write mine down too. Everyone too caught up. Because this is, I haven't done this yet. Write it down because it'll help you connect with it better. Okay. Number one, first step, it's normal and natural for you to have this fear because of your core value. And it's normal and natural for it to be with you your entire life. This is your pain point. It's not a sign of personal weakness. It's not a character flaw, and it's uniquely yours. You and only you have this particular core fear. That's the first step, normal and natural. Second, close your eyes if it helps and go inside and just see where you feel that fear. For me, it's the fear of the world being too caught up in their own lives to see or consider me. It's a judgment of other people, but it's personal, you know? It's very painful. And you can see where the sadness lies in it. So it's core pain for me, or sadness, because that's how fear shows up for me. I've never felt scared in my life or afraid. How fear shows up for me is sad. But it may show up differently for you. Just find the pain point. Like for me, it's in my chest. How strong is it? Notice it right now. Where is it? How strong is it? You know, how it's showing up as. Step three, are you in resistance to that? And resistance could be blame, you know, blaming abuse or blaming getting teased as a child or all of that. That's a way to not own it. You know, do you wish it weren't so? Are you trying to fix it? Are you going to therapy to try to resolve it? Are you doing positive affirmations to try to negate it? Are you looking for evidence to support that it's not true? If so, these are all forms of resistance. Are in you having coping mechanisms to not deal with it, drugs or alcohol? Are you in your head as a way to try to get rid of it or control it? That's the biggest form of resistance I see, actually. You know, talking about it incessantly, trying to figure it out, right? Versus just finding it in your body and feeling it. And then noticing your relationship to it, if it's compromised in any way. And if so, just do the thing that you do. For me, it shows up as blame and feeling like a victim. That's how I don't deal with it. That's my resistance to feeling it. So I'm just going to sit in step three, feeling like a victim. And do this in silence for 1 minute. For me, with the dogs, I turn into a Karen. Not very often. I've only done that once. I'm judgmental. All ways to not deal with my fear. You can even feel like a victim to the fear itself. I know with Kirk, you know, he never considered me, or rarely. He did. See, there I go again. I'm saying he never. He did. Not very much. And I felt like such a victim. That's me not dealing with my fear. That's me not staying in my own lane. This is my wound. Now, step four, now that you've felt the resistance to it, and just gone all the way with all your coping mechanisms and all that, I now want you to keep your eyes closed if it helps, and just now feel your fear of fill in the blank. It's yours. You're born with it. It's not because of a life situation. It's your birthright. It's the most painful thing in the world to you to not have your core value met. How scary is that? Everyone on the planet wants to be seen and acknowledged and be given what they want. When they don't get it, when you don't get it, it hurts. This is your personal pain. No more blame, no more victim, no more it's because of this or because of that. This is all you. This is who you are. This is your pain body, Eckhart Tolle. Your core fear. Find a way to love it. Find a way to feel it. Find a way to flow with it. And this is how you resolve childhood issues.
It's a lot easier than talk therapy. It's about getting to know yourself better.
And self-love and awareness. And also where... it's where you can, from this place, establish boundaries too. Like I have, because of this core values work and core fear and all that, and if I clearly communicate what matters to me, hey, I want you to be in consideration to me, like I did with Kirk every day in our marriage, and he didn't care. He didn't. I didn't give a rat's ass about it, so I block him. He's not allowed in my life anymore. Now, I had a friend recently who said a bunch of things that were just so out of consideration for me and who I am. He just didn't see me, he accused me of doing some things that I'm not capable of doing. It was bizarre. Done. Boundary setting, right? I had a handyman who I've been asking to turn on my swamp cooler for 2 months now. He was putting me off. And I said in such a way that, hey, this really is important to me. Didn't show up. And I've known this person forever, just blocked. I know he's busy. He'll probably reach out to me at some point, want nothing to do with him anymore. Because if you know what your core value is and it gets shat upon and again, and it puts you into a fear state, this person is not somebody that you should be spending time with. So that's, you know, and then of course you have to do it with integrity. So that's the kind of integrity and all that piece, like the awareness and then the integrity and the ownership, like staying in your own lane. Any questions?
Yeah, I just had a question about the last things you were talking about, just drawing a distinction here between boundaries and, you know, in our world, I guess we're spread apart enough where you can have nothing to do with people in your life. But there's some people that obviously you can't just put up a boundary and then have nothing to do with them. So just kind of, I don't know if this is a question or a comment, but just kind of holding the idea of honoring and just speaking directly to someone's behavior and just saying, hey, you know, that showed up as really shitty for me. And that behavior probably always will show up as shitty for me. And you're still in my life and we're connected. And outside of that shitty suckiness, I love you.
Can you tell me why you're asking this? Like, tell me what your core value is that was not being met and who this person was that wasn't meeting it and what happened next, and try to keep it short.
I wasn't thinking about it so much as a personal thing. I just kind of was holding more the concept of where boundaries bleed into honoring and where honoring bleeds back into boundaries.
Well, let me give you a couple examples from our group. You know, Liz, recognition. Let's say she works in a career where she accomplishes a lot, because that's important to her. She's proud of herself. She doesn't need an award, right? But she just needs a recognition. And recognition can come in many forms. It could be in, hey, you know, attaboy, or you get the best parking spot this month, or, you know, giving you a raise, or, you know, there's many different ways to show recognition. And, but let's say she's in an environment where that's not part of the corporate culture. And it's just, well, it's expected that you're supposed to accomplish stuff. That's what we're paying you for. You know, you don't get a special parking spot for that. And that's just the wrong environment. And then she says, like, hey, you know, it would be nice to be recognized for the fact that I just made the company a whole bunch of extra money last month. And they're like, okay, you have a problem if they say that. And, you know, what's up with your need for validation? You know, get the hell out. That is the wrong environment for you to be working. Or if you're in a marriage and your number one core value is validation, like with Michael, and the wife is just saying derogatory comments all the time, and then you say, hey, because you have integrity, right? You have awareness about your core values and it's triggering your core fear, and you've been in core shadow for a long time and crazy, right? So then you take ownership, like, this is my fear, and you communicate with integrity, like, hey, wife, you know, my number one core value is validation. And so it's very important, if you love me, to understand that about me. And I want to know what your number one core value is too. And if we want to improve this relationship, I think it's important for us to know that and start meeting each other's needs based on this. rather than judging each other for it, or, you know, what about me, going back and forth like that. And, or you could even do the work, because we have this relationship workshop coming up all about core values, and core, all of this is going to be covered in that. You know, come to the event on your own, even if wife has no interest in personal growth work, or, and just go home. And I have a client right now who's doing this work, and all he does every day is ask his, every day, once a day, he asks his wife, what can I do to make your day special today? That's all he's done. Once a day, he asks that, and then listens to what her answer is. She tells him basically what her value is, you know, clean the garage, you know, clean the kitchen, fix up, you know, clean up this mess. It's order. So he starts giving her order and neatness around the house and all of that, and cares enough about her value, you know, to honor it. She eventually will start doing the same thing in return and not even aware that she's doing this. So it just takes one person, but you have to, you know, if you can find a way to communicate it with integrity, versus in a shadowed way, just things change in your life and they change fast, relationships heal, and you're a million times less judgmental too. Like somebody for whom order is their number one core value, they will get a divorce if you don't put the cap back on the toothpaste tube. And you think, well, that's ridiculous. But then when you realize that's their number one core value, you realize, oh no, that's not ridiculous. That's everything to this person. And a way that I can show her that I love her is by putting the cap back on. So there's just a lot that can be resolved. And it's not because she was freaking with controlling parents or any of that. That's what I'm presenting here. It's not because she had a messed up childhood that she needs to have the cap put back on. It's because that's who she is. She came out of the womb with order being her core value. And then her core fear is the lack of control of the order. And then shadowed, she starts screaming at people for not picking up their socks. So this stuff makes it so much easier to navigate relationships, not only with other people, but certainly with yourself. And your shadow gets reduced, and you just, I mean, it just saves you a lot of money in therapy, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a quick question to the group. Has anybody talked to other people outside the group about their core values, like just like in casual conversation with a neighbor or a friend, asking them, hey, do you know that you have these core values? Have you ever thought about it? I tend to do it all the time now. And I find it very helpful, because you kind of start to know right away how to approach the person. And so I'm just curious if anybody has experimented outside the group about core values.
And also if anybody's experimented with helping people get in flow with their fear. Because I'm sure that if you've been working with me, as long as you guys have, some of you, that everywhere you look are people that are not dealing with their fear.
Of course.
And maybe that can be the koan. So we don't have to answer it here, but maybe you guys can write me afterwards. I noticed that people aren't submitting questions anymore. And that's fun for me, because then I get to go off on these tangents like I went off on tonight. But, you know, if you have a question about how to share this with people in your life, please reach out and submit that to the group. And there's a relationship workshop in Salt Lake City, September 10th and 11th, with Donnie Angel and myself, you've just scratched the surface of core values. Like, you can't even believe the stuff that Donnie will teach you. She is an absolute genius. And it's a relationship workshop. Last time we only had a few couples, everybody else came alone. Either they were in a relationship, but they couldn't get their partner to come because they weren't interested in personal growth. And they went home and affected the relationship. I mean, Donnie had a client that I worked with too. 30-year argument with their spouse. One session, went home, we told this person what to say to their husband. Guy burst into tears. She's never seen him cry. Resolved that issue that night, never showed up again. 30 years of misery resolved in one session, in one sentence. So that's the power of this work with core values. It certainly with regard to relationships, and September 10th and 11th, it's very reasonably priced. I think it's $500. Salt Lake City. Tell everyone, because the price goes up every time and we won't have another one for at least a year. So let me just bring this home, what we explored tonight, because it's kind of huge, right? What if actually the screwed up you has nothing to do with trauma itself? And instead it has to do with the violation of your unique core values, which most people don't even know what they are, right? And your core values are going to be inevitably violated because other people don't share your core values. They care about other things. So it's inevitable that your core values will be shat upon, leading to subsequent emotions, namely fear or fear, leading to how you learn how to deal with your fear, which is usually not in flow with it, right? Until that core fear turns into a shadow that messes up your relationships, life, and the world, you know, the humanity. Versus this kind of more simplistic approach to being messed up, right? Where we're now dealing with it in terms of awareness, ownership, and integrity. That's our class tonight. Thank you. And I'll talk to you next month. Please submit questions. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.